Now, in certain circumstances, these triggering events will come up, and you don't really know what's going to cause it to trigger. What you do know is there's going to be a point in time in the organizational life where parties may just disagree. You may not know in advance why they may disagree. It may just be a set of circumstances where they really don't want to be doing business with one another any longer for a host of various reasons. And under that set of circumstances, it is often helpful to have some sort of a mechanism, some sort of procedure for the parties to say, how are we going to disassociate at that point in time? What kind of method can we go to decide who's going to be leaving behind their interest or who's going to be leaving the organization? And how are we going to value that interest as we have them leave the organization or as they pick up their chips, so to speak, and move on by going to the market and getting a valuation done? In many cases, you'll see this in the form of a right of first refusal that's built in to the organizational documents, a right of first offer, which is a variation on a theme as it relates to that kind of arrangement. And then push-pull agreements, which have kind of a balance to them, are supposed to have a bit of a balance to them as to a fair way to kind of have the parties establish their own value between themselves as opposed to the market, which may be established through a right of first refusal or a right of first offer. So I want to take a few minutes and walk us through the issues. I said this was going to be issue spotting, the issues that may arise in the right of first refusal and right of first offer scenario. And on its face, these look like they're pretty simple concepts. You just go to the market and see how somebody would price it, and then you can kind of take it from there. But there are all sorts of nuances to this that the parties need to at least check the box on, which is, first, what constitutes this third-party offer? And can it happen by accident, for instance? Can I simply have a situation where I've accidentally triggered one of these scenarios by saying, hey, you know, I want to take this thing out and I want to sell my interest and accidentally trigger the language in the third-party offer? It doesn't need to be in writing, so you confirmed you're exercising a right pursuant to a specific procedure. There may be carve-outs that are helpful or necessary between the parties. For instance, you may want to be able to transfer it to certain people without having to go through this process, such as to permitted transfers to relatives or to trusts or to controlled entities. You need to specifically carve out of the language. There may be circumstances where the parties say, you know, we're going to use a right of first refusal to help kind of break up this disagreement we may have, but we don't want this going to certain people. We all agree in advance. There's certain people it should not go to, like a competitor or someone that the parties have had hostilities with in the past. When you are going to go to the market, one of the things that's going to happen, and I know this next two speakers are going to speak to this more specifically, there's confidential information embedded in these organizations that you're going to have to share with the outside world to get them to kind of properly value what's being put out there to sell. So how do you deal with those confidentiality obligations as it relates to the ability to market the interest in the marketplace for that purpose? Time periods for exercising these rights become important, as do problems with partial offers. And that is, what if you're just going to sell a part of your interest, not all of your interest? Is that something that's going to be entertained or not entertained? If the right of first refusal isn't exercised, is it going to be passed? And would a future purchaser be subject to that right of first refusal going forward? That is, does the future purchaser then also have a right of first refusal? They have these provisions that apply to them at that time. So there are still more issues that we need to talk about, and matching terms and financing issues. And that is, what if there are offers that are made at that point in time on the right of first refusal, and the party you're bringing it back to, that is the internal parties that you're bringing it back to, that's had the opportunity to match it before it goes out to a third party, can't match it. That is, it's got some terms in it that are almost impossible for them in particular to match, or circumstances where they would want to do it on a different basis. And how do you line that up with your right of first refusal procedures? If it's not consummated, at what point does it become stale at that point in time? What time periods do people need to rely upon to elect to go through this process, which typically need to be fairly short, since you've got a willing buyer that's kind of sitting out there ready to purchase it, and you've got to let the other owners of the organization make a decision or sell it to this third party. What if there's more than one person in the organization that's entitled to make that decision to participate? How do you divide that up between them how do you parse it between them if the company is not going to buy it back, which would be like a redemption where they would kind of all go up on a pro rata basis. Releases. Now, often in organizations, people have made guarantees of certain obligations. They may be signed personally onto some obligations and they're being asked to leave or they're in the planning to leave through the right of first refusal process. What do you do under that set of circumstances with getting them released? What commitments are made to getting them released? What obligations do the party who's coming in have to assume those obligations, both all the way back to the inception or maybe from the date of the assumption, and what indemnities might be put in place as it relates to that that type of an operation? Now, we all know in these pass-through entities, because of the special relationship, the statutes that that kind of embody this area of law provide for transfers that are not true, transfers of interest where the party's not admitted as either a member or a partner in the organization. They become assinees. And the statutes have been set up kind of recognizing this special relationship to establish an assinee status for people to get a transfer but are not admitted into the organization. So